The epistle for the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary is taken from the book of Judith, chapter 13. The Lord hath blessed thee by his power, who by thee hath brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, because he hath so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever. For that thou hast not spared thy life by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. In the Holy Gospel, it is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19. At that time there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore had seen his mother and the disciple standing whom he loved, he saith to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. After that he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who bewailed and lamented him. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Each year, my dear friends, on September the 15th and on the Friday following Passion Sunday, which is today, the Church celebrates the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. And while both feasts commemorate all of the seven sorrows of Our Lady, today, in a most special way, we bring to mind those swords of sorrow which pierced her heart during the passion and death of her Son. And thus today we contemplate and commemorate the meeting of Our Lady with her divine Son on his way to Calvary, the agony of Our Lady on Calvary as she witnessed the crucifixion and death of Christ, the holding of her Son's dead body beneath the cross, and his burial and separation of 3 days before the resurrection. This morning, I would like to speak to you about the fourth sorrow of Mary, her meeting with Jesus on his way to Calvary. After our Lord was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane by the Jews and the Romans, it is said that some of the disciples who had fled immediately went to our Blessed Lady and informed her of his arrest. Our Lady, of course, was not taken by surprise at this news, for she had known, as St. Alphonsus de Liguori tells us, that the passion and death of her Son was near. In fact, in the revelations of Our Lady to St. Bridget, the Blessed Virgin Mary revealed that when the time of the passion of her Son was approaching, her eyes were always filled with holy tears as she thought of him and the sufferings he was about to undergo. But after our Lord was taken from Gethsemane, St. John the Apostle followed him to the house of the high priest Caiaphas. And there he saw our Lord receive a blow to the face before Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas. But shortly afterwards, St. John left the house. He left the house of the high priest, and according to St. Alphonsus, it was he who went to Our Lady. And on that first Good Friday morning, with the Most Blessed Virgin, St. John, St. Mary Magdalene, Mary of Cleophas, as the Gospel tells us today, came to the place of trial. Falsely accused and cruelly beaten, our Lord was condemned to death, the death of the cross by Pilate. Our Lady heard the decree of crucifixion. And after this decree had been read, and after Pilate had washed his hands, as it were, Christ began his journey to Calvary with the cross upon his scourged and blood-covered back. Now you have to understand, the streets of Jerusalem were very narrow. The news of our Savior's trial attracted hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people who lined the streets of Jerusalem that morning and followed the procession of death. And thus, on account of the immense crowd and the soldiers who were constantly pushing people back, it would have been very difficult for Our Lady to even catch a glimpse of Christ along the way. But still, she and St. John and the others followed closely, as the most venerable of traditions tell us. But it was Our Lady herself who revealed to St. Bridget. She said to St. Bridget, "By the footsteps of my son, I knew where he had passed, for along the way the ground was marked with blood." It is St. Bonaventure, though, who tells us that the Most Blessed Virgin and St. John and the others went another way, and they positioned themselves on the corner of a street where our Lord was yet to pass. And as the procession moved forward, Our Lady, now standing on this street, saw the soldiers approaching, carrying the sentence of death. She saw the executioners carrying the ropes, the mallets, and the nails. And at last she saw her son, covered with blood and wounds, his face hardly recognizable, a crown of thorns upon his head, and not just merely upon his head, but driven into his head, and two heavy beams upon his shoulders, stumbling along the cobblestone street as he walked. She saw him fall to the ground. She saw the soldiers surround him and begin kicking him. She saw them spitting upon him, whipping him, shouting at him to get up and move quickly. She heard the insults of the Jews. She heard the mockery. She heard them curse her son. But she revealed to St. Bridget that after Jesus had gotten up and the cross was placed back upon his shoulders, and the procession then began, she revealed to St. Bridget that he walked towards her. And as he did, he wiped from his eyes the clotted blood which prevented him from seeing her. St. Alphonsus de Liguori puts it this way: He says, the son then looked at the mother, and the mother looked at the son. And then this great saint says of the Virgin Mother of God and her divine son, what looks of bitter grief, which as so many arrows pierced through and through those two loving hearts. And thus, he says, the sword of sorrow pierced the heart of Mary. It is Saint Anselm, the 12th century doctor of the church, who says, the mother would have embraced him, but the guards cast her aside with insults, and they pushed Christ forward towards Calvary. But you know, my dear friends, despite the bitter sorrow she felt, despite the hatred of the people that surrounded her and the display of cruelty of those Roman soldiers, she would not leave him. She could not leave him. For her heart and his heart were one. She thus embraced his cross and him as one. She thus followed him to Calvary and to his death. And she is thus our inspiration. She is our example. And taking up the cross and following Christ. If we but loved the Son and the cross as she did, I dare say we would all be saints. But let us now, my dear people, let us now begin to do so. Let us accompany the sorrowful mother on her journey to Calvary by taking up our cross each day. Let us do this in our minds and in our hearts, by bearing patiently and generously the crosses and trials of our state in life. Such things will both sanctify us and save us. And how heavy are the crosses that we must bear now. But still, crosses borne with patience, no matter how heavy, crosses borne for the love of Christ, crosses borne with Mary, will sanctify us and will save us. And when all is said and done, there is only one thing that really matters. That we love God, we serve Mary, and we save our souls for eternity. And the way of the cross is the only way which leads to heaven. And so we pray to our Mother of Sorrows today in the words of the beautiful hymn, the Stabat Mater. By the cross with thee to stay, there with thee to weep and pray, is all I ask of thee to give. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.